verse 14. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. Let's pray. Father, help us now to preach. Pray the Word of God would help us and instruct us, admonish us, whatever it is we need. I pray the Holy Spirit would take individuals, start with the pastor, work in my heart, work in every other heart. Help us to be what we ought to be. Conform us to the image of Christ. Give us understanding and wisdom in the Word of God and in the things of this world. We'll thank you. We'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'll bring you a message tonight on perception, because there's some things you ought to be able to perceive and some things that nobody can perceive, or God has to reveal them. You can't get a handle on it. You can't know it's there if God doesn't inform you about it. And so we'll talk about that for just a few minutes. Now, if you look up in your Noah Webster 1828 inspired edition of the English dictionary, it says this under the word perceive: to grasp mentally, to take note of, to recognize, to observe, to become aware of through sight, hearing, touch, taste, or smell. Example: he perceived the ship as it broke out of the fog. Okay. He saw it, he recognized it, he understood what it was when he got a glimpse of it. So his perception gave him understanding. Now, under perception, dictionary said, the art of perceiving. That is, the practice of item number one. The mental grasp of objects or qualities. Insight or intuition. That is, to be able to figure things out without having to see it all, or hear it all, or touch it all, or taste it all, or know it all. You get a glimpse. You see people, the way they behave, the way they act, and you figure out whether they have character or not. See? That's a perception. People say, you know, I don't know that fellow that well, but if I read him right, see? That's a perception. Now, it could be right, and it could be wrong. But we all do that to some extent. And there's nothing wrong with that. You have to be careful about it. And sometimes your first instincts are wrong. Sometimes our perceptions are skewed. Heard a story one time. This little boy came running home one afternoon. He was all out of breath. And he came running up to his daddy. And he said, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. He said, I know where horses come from. And his daddy said, you do? He said, yes, sir. He said, well, where do they come from, son? He said, Mr. Jones, the blacksmith, makes them. He said, are you sure about that? He said, oh, yes, Daddy. He said, I'm absolutely sure. He said, are you honest? He said, Mr. Jones, the blacksmith, makes them. And his daddy said, son, did you see Mr. Jones make a horse? He said, well, not exactly, Daddy. He said, but I saw him finishing one up. He was nailing his feet on. That was his perception. Of course, it was wrong. Amen. And a lot of times you have to be careful about perceptions. It's insight or intuition is the part we're looking at. He said, I perceived from his countenance that he was in the depths of despair. You ever look at somebody and you just, when you look at them, you understand, you have an insight, you know, you say, that guy's got trouble, or so-and-so's got a heavy heart. Now, you don't know that. They didn't tell you that. You don't know the details of their life, but from observing their countenance and the way they carry themselves, you make a judgment. Amen? So, that's insight or intuition. Somebody said one time that perception is every man's reality. You know, that's the truth. People believe some things with all of their heart, all of their mind, and all of their strength, and they're just dead wrong. But you couldn't convince them of that in a million years. Because their insight, their instincts, their intuition has told them certain things, and they're convinced. And they would argue with you till Jesus comes and be wrong the whole time. Say why? Because their perception of the situation is incorrect. Somebody said, a woman who dresses and talks and acts like a lady is perceived to be a lady regardless of the truth. That's really good. If she dresses like a lady and talks like a lady and walks like a lady and acts like a lady, everybody figures she's a lady. She may be a slut. But everybody's perception is she's a lady. I'd rather be perceived to be a lady than to be anything else. Amen? Ladies ought to always dress and talk and act like ladies. Everybody ought to think you're a lady. Amen. Whether you are or not. Fool them. Somebody said one time, they say women are more concerned about their reputation than about their character. Now what does that say? They're concerned about how you perceive them. What do you think about me when you look at me? People are concerned about that. What kind of perception do they give to other people? It's a terrible thing to be more concerned about your reputation than you are your character. Amen? But a lot of people are perceived to have character, and if the truth were known, they don't have any. Of course, since Bill Clinton, doesn't make any difference anyway. Is it hot in here, or is it just me sweating? Just me, okay. Some people can read people. They're very perceptive. Some are suckers for everybody. They have no perception. They have no discernment. Politicians make their living by the perception they present. That's why they spin things. That's why they want to look certain ways. That's why they want to be in certain places. That's why they want to be seen with certain people. They want to give you a certain perception, whether it's true or not. And you have to understand that very often the way we perceive things is based on misinformation, lack of information, incorrectly presented information, and so our perceptions are altered or skewed to whatever extent the information we have is wrong. So before you make snap judgments and big decisions, you better make sure that your understanding of a thing is solid. Amen? Somebody say amen. 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 Now, I'm going to give you some Bible examples about perception, some good, some bad. In Acts 8:23, the Bible said, regarding Simon the sorcerer, Peter said, I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. Now, why did Peter do that? Simon the sorcerer was supposed to have been a convert to Jesus Christ. And when he saw that Peter and the fellows could lay hands on people and heal them and cast out demons and do miracles, he said, I'll give you money if you'll give me this power. He thought you could buy the power of the Holy Spirit. And Peter was angry about that. And he said, I perceive. He said, I understand. He said, my intuition tells me that you ain't right with God, sport. Why did he perceive that? Because of what Simon the sorcerer wanted to do. He did that because of the lack of understanding Simon the sorcerer had about how God does things. You don't buy God. You don't buy God's power. God's not for sale. You can't bribe Him. You can't own Him. Amen? And so when Peter saw that Simon the sorcerer had no spiritual understanding, it gave Peter understanding. It gave him a perception. He perceived that Simon the sorcerer was still a lost man, that he wasn't right with God. You know something? A lot of times what people say and the way they act helps us to know things about them. Isn't that a comforting thought? The way you talk, the way you act, the way you respond to things of God gives people perception about you, whether or not you're spiritually minded, whether you're saved or not. You say, well, preacher, bless God, that ain't nobody's business. Well, I'm sorry, but your life is an open showcase. You can't hide it. If you belong to Jesus Christ or profess to belong to Jesus Christ, your life's supposed to be a testimony to the rest of the world. We have every right in the world to look at the way you live and the way you talk and the way you dress and the way you act. You're part of our family. Amen. You represent or misrepresent my Father. You either bring honor to His name or dishonor to His name. Now, how do people perceive you as a Christian? When you talk, do they think, here's a man, here's a woman, here's a young person that loves God? Or do they think, man, that's a cold, calculating, carnal, worldly, disinterested individual? Truth is, we draw conclusions about you. We make judgments about you because of our perception of how spiritual you are or how spiritual you are not. And it's all based on how you act and how you talk. In Acts chapter 4, verse 73. I guess it's 73. Might be a 23. I can't tell. It's 13. That's what it is. It's Acts 4:13. That blind's bleeding through from the backside where I put a magic marker. Almost didn't figure that out there for a minute. Acts 4:13. He said, they perceived they were ignorant and unlearned men. Now that was the Sadducees, the Pharisees. That's the doctors and the big shots. Talking about Peter, James, and John. And he said they perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men. Now how do you figure they did that? Well, it's because of the way them hillbillies talked. That's why. They talked ignorant. They sounded ignorant. They looked ignorant. They were ignorant. They were, in fact, ignorant and unlearned men. Now, it's true they had the power of God and they had the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. See, so God didn't hold it against them. But you can't hide from people what you are. Amen. Who in the world could listen to Danny Castle and not know he was a redneck hillbilly from the mountains of North Carolina? You say, well, now, he's a great preacher and he's got a lot of insight and a lot of wisdom. And he really does. But you can't hide where he's from. Amen. He are what he are. Amen. And your speech betrayeth you. Amen. When somebody's around you all day today and all day tomorrow, or spends the day with you today and spends the day with you next week and talks to you this weekend, talks to you next weekend, the weekend after that, and they're around you for 3 or 4 months or 5 or 6 months or a year or 2 or 3 years, don't kid yourself. What you talk about betrays you. It helps us to form a perception about you. If you don't ever talk about God, you don't ever quote any Bible, you don't have any Bible humor, we figure you're not a Bible reader. You're not a Bible studier. You're not interested in that book. Amen. So people, preacher, do people? Sure. Well, I don't know about everybody else, but I do. Let me tell you something, just between me and you, as friends, because I love you. I got every person in this room pegged. Every one of you. I've been watching you and listening to you and talking to you and preaching to you for years. And I'll bet I ain't right one time or wrong one time out of 100. I got your number. I got certain perceptions about you, and it's the way you act. And the way you talk, and the interest you show, and where you go, and how, see what I mean, Jelly Bean? Ecclesiastes 1:17. I love the book of Ecclesiastes. Talking about wisdom, madness, and folly. He said, I perceived that this is also vexation of spirit. Now he's talking about Solomon set out to get wisdom and to know the difference between wisdom and madness and folly. And when he got it all learned, when he had studied the whole thing and figured it all out, he said, I perceive that it's vexation of spirit, that it's folly. His perception was, the thing that he learned from the whole process was, it was a waste of time. He said he had more understanding than all of his teachers. He said that he had learned more than all the other men in Jerusalem. And after all, God said he was the wisest man that ever lived. And when he got all the wisdom there was, and he tried everything, he said, I had me men singers and women singers. He said, I had music. He said, I had food. He said, I had exotic dancers. He said he had everything there was. And when he got through, he said, it's vexation of spirit, madness and folly. Wisest man that ever lived said that. Now, when I see God's people out chasing the world, out after all that it has, trying to get all that it has to offer, with no regard for God or the things of God or the cause of God, I perceive that you ain't learned what Solomon did. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 6. He said, I perceive that if Absalom had lived and we all had died, that's David lamenting over the death of his son. Oh, Absalom, Absalom, my son, Absalom, Absalom. And he's Absalom's trying to kill him, you know. And his men finally come to him, and they were disgusted with David because David is whining and crying over Absalom being dead. When Absalom had led an insurrection and tried to overthrow his dad and take his life and take his kingdom, and finally his men came to David and said, I perceive, I understand, if Absalom lived and we had all died, you'd have been happy. They perceived that David was making a big to-do over the wrong thing. Now it was a tragedy Absalom had to get killed, but thank God it was Absalom, not David. Thank God it was Absalom and his men rather than David and his men. Amen. Now, I know it's David's son, and it was a heartbreaker and all that, and I'm sure David was upset about it. But he went too far. He lamented way too much. He gave the people the impression that he would rather they had died and Absalom had lived. You got to be careful about what you get excited about, amen. What you get upset about. Amen. Amen. Sometimes God's people get upset at the dumbest stuff. And then serious stuff happens, and they don't get upset at all. So what do you perceive from that? I perceive lack of understanding from that. David was wrong, and he needed to be rebuked. Sometimes God's people don't show any wisdom in the things that they get upset about or angry about. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 19, David's servants whispered, and the Bible said, and David perceived that the child was dead. Now, that's the child that was born to Bathsheba when David committed adultery with her and had her husband murdered, and she conceived and bare a son, and God took the baby. And David is over there praying for God to spare the baby's life. And then when he hears his servants whispering and all that, he understood, he perceived that the reason they were doing that was because the baby was dead. Amen. Sometimes we need a little perception. We need to read situations. The problem with God's people is, one, and the biggest problem with their perception is, we tend to make mountains out of molehills. We see too much in everything. God's people tend to make big deals out of nothing. Well, so-and-so didn't speak to me this morning. Well, you reckon it's because they're mad at me? Have they seen me do something? Did I say something to offend them? Did I have bad bath or B.O.? Or, I mean, and go on and fret and carry on, make a fool out of yourself. Truth is, the guy was probably busy talking to somebody else and just didn't see you. I mean, why make a big deal out of it? But churches all across the South get torn all to pieces because people have wrong perceptions. Somebody's not kind enough, or maybe they're a little short today. They didn't feel good. There's a million scenarios. But God's people get offended and get their feelings hurt and make a big deal out of it. Too thin skin. Take themselves too seriously. Amen. Everybody wants the preacher to speak to them. I don't see half of you. Time I get out the side door, half of you are gone.
And you go home saying, you know, the preacher didn't speak to me today.
Well, you got there last and left first. How do you expect me to speak to you?
Amen.
Amen. And besides that, sometimes I come in here, I got something else on my mind besides shaking your hand. Amen. And it ain't got a thing in the world to do with you. Sometimes, honest to God, I'm thinking about my sermon.
Well, the preacher walked right by me and bumped into me and didn't even say excuse me.
Well, that's because I didn't know you was on the same planet. You ever come to church sometime and maybe you just feel bad? And you don't feel like being friendly. And somebody says, good morning, Brother Mark. Well, that's typical for him. You ought to see him in a bad mood. People don't always feel good.
Amen.
You ever come to church and you and the wife been fussing and fighting all morning? You come to church and the last thing you won't have to do is be friendly and nice to all them little people down there, you know. And then the minute they realize you're in a bad mood, they're going to say, hey, brother, something bothering you? So can I help you? Anything going on? And you think, he don't want to help me. He just wants to know what's going on so he can spread the dirt around. Sometimes we ought to have a little perception and discern people a little bit. Amen? You know, sometimes you can see somebody and you can see it in their countenance or the way they carry themselves or maybe the way they talk to somebody else that they just don't want to be bothered. But we ain't got sense enough to leave them alone.
Well, I'm going to go cheer them up.
They don't want to be cheered up. They want to sulk. They want to pout. They want to feel bad. They want to suck their thumb. Amen. Now, sometimes they need somebody to cheer them up. So, well, preacher, how do you know which one's which? Perception. You got to learn something about people. You got to learn to read them. That may be the first time you meet Brother Lewis. You don't know exactly how to read him. But as simple as he is, twice, and you got him figured out. Amen. I mean, some of y'all have been coming to church here for years. And you don't know enough about the other people in here to know when they're really up or down or when they need help or when they just want to be left alone. Because you ain't spent enough time talking with them and talking to them and fellowshipping with them, know anything about them. You can't understand them. You got no perception of them.
Amen.
By the way, we're going down to Wendy's after church tonight and have a 99-cent hamburger, and any of y'all who want to go are welcome. If you'll come and fellowship, it'll help you with your perception of us.
Amen.
Amen. You'll find out that I'm only mean as the devil in the pulpit.
Amen.
Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 4, the Bible said, it talks about some people lack perception. The Bible said, the Lord hath not given you a heart to perceive. Some people are just lacking it. I mean, and they ain't got it, and they're not going to get it. And that's a tragedy because it means they're always misreading folks. But you know, there's some things you either got it or you don't got it. Take musical ability. I've got it. I've got it locked away. Deacons are supposed to support and help their pastors. Now, nobody enjoys music. I really don't believe anybody enjoys it more than I do. I've spent countless hours listening to it and buying it, and I enjoy it. It stirs my heart. I get some of my best sermons out of gospel music. But don't count on me to sing it. I can't even keep time with it. I can't sing a note. Can't play a single instrument. You know, I've owned 5 bass guitars.
Is that all?
But I can recount 5. I've had 6 or 8 really good 6-string guitars. Electric ones and acoustical ones and Ovations. And I mean, I've had some nice stuff. Yamahas. I bought 5 harmonicas 1 year. Say, why did you buy 5? Because I threw 4 of them away. I had a piano in my house for 6 years. And you know something? Can't play a cotton picking thing. Can't keep time. Don't have any rhythm. Can't carry a tune. Don't know pitch from poke. I just ain't got it. Ain't got it. I go out to prison and preach, and then black guys, man, they all got rhythm. And they laugh at me. And my grandkids laugh at me. Because they got this little thing where I don't know how they do it. Something like this. And I can't. I try to copy them. You know, I don't mind being laughed at. And so I get up there and do it with them, you know. And of course, I after about 2 steps, I'm out of whack. I'm out of sync. They're going one way, I'm going another. I said, what are you saying, preacher? I said, I don't have any musical ability. I just ain't got it. I've tried to nurture and to culture what little spark I have, but it will not burst into a flame. Just ain't got it. And don't look like I'm going to get it. And some people got no perception, no understanding. They can't size up people. They can't size up situations. They don't get spiritual insights. They try. They want to. They're doing the best they can. They're just coming up short because they're lacking. And that verse says because God just didn't give it to them. You ever wonder why some people make such dumb mistakes and make such stupid spiritual decisions? Because they just ain't got it. That's why. Amen. And they're not going to get it. Amen. Now, if you're one of them, you need to lean on somebody that's got it.
Amen.
Amen. Wisdom's found in a multitude of counsel. Right. If you find yourself constantly being wrong about situations, constantly being wrong about people, constantly making decisions you wish in the end you hadn't made, maybe you ought to talk to somebody else before you make a decision in the future.
Amen.
Amen. Some people can read people. If there was ever a human being that was born to be a detective. Now, I'm serious, it's a heart attack. My wife can take less information and figure out more stuff and be right more times than anybody I've ever seen in my life. She'll come home all the time. She'll say, you know, that little house down here, so-and-so. And I'll say, uh-huh, I don't have a clue. She said, you know, they've had a divorce down there. Or somebody down there has died. I said, now how do you know that? Do you know them people? No. I said, well, what's your source of information? She said, well, I drive by there every day. And she's noticed this. And she noticed what kind of cars are there. And then when they're not there. and in a week or two, she'll take all that little information. And in a couple of days, she'll come up and say, you remember I told you the other day, so-and-so, the daddy had left, or they had a divorce, or somebody died? She said, well, I was talking to so-and-so today, and guess what? It's amazing. She's been doing that for years. And now she started preaching. I'm worried. Some people have it. Some people don't. And if you're one of those that don't, you've got to do the best you can. And when you can, lean on somebody else. We're going to have a musical program in our church. I have to entrust it to somebody else. Amen?
Amen.
That's why Brother Steve Lees is singing. So I could sing the same old six songs every Sunday. It would make a dime worth of difference to me. So why is that? Because I can't remember them from one Sunday to the next. I've really got a mental block. And it bothers me, if you just want to know the truth about it. I mean, it really does. The kids can get up here and sing a song. You know, as long as they're singing, I can sing right along with them. But the minute... Now, I've been preaching 30 years, and I have learned most of the hymns. More or less. As long as somebody else is leading them. I say, got it. Y'all should have perceived that by now. Where am I at? I forgot. Now, I spent all this time talking about perception, and some of us try to be funny and all that, but the truth is that a lot of times God's people are slow to perceive God's dealings with them. Job 33:14 said, for God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. God calls to you, God calls to you, God speaks to you. God tries to show you something. He wants to lead you, wants to help you, wants to give you some information, wants to point you in the right direction, wants you to get into a particular ministry or whatever it is. And God knocks on your door, nobody home. And He knocks again, and nobody home. Or maybe we've got sin in our life, or we're out of fellowship with God, or we're headed the wrong direction, or we're getting involved in things that's going to get us in trouble down the road, and God tries to knock on the door and get our attention. We don't get it. I've talked to people, and it's just amazing. They say they're Christians, say they're saved, and all this, that, and the other, and they had this problem and that problem, and yet they're doing this and this and this. And I say, well, do you ever think that God's trying to get your attention? Well, what would make you think that, preacher? Gee, I don't know. You've been knocked down five times in a row. Don't you think someplace along the line you'd ask yourself, why? Oh, gosh, preacher, I never thought about it like that. God's people, just we are so in tune with the world that we're out of tune with God. And God can call and call and call, and we never hear the still small voice. Till finally God has to just knock us down flat of our back to get our attention. Give you some examples. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 8. Samuel is at Eli's. And Samuel is there to help him. And of course the Lord is calling Samuel to be a prophet. And the Lord speaks to Samuel. And Samuel thinks that it's Eli. And he gets up and he runs to him and he said, here am I. And he said, son, he said, go lay down. He said, I didn't call you. And the boy goes back and he lays down. And again the Lord calls and speaks to him. And the little kid jumps up and he runs over to Eli. He thinks it's Eli. And Eli said, son, he said, go lay down. He said, I haven't called you. I'm trying to get some sleep here. And so the kid goes, lays down, and the Lord calls a third time. And the kid comes and said, here am I. And it said, and Samuel perceived, or Eli perceived, that the Lord had called. But he had to get knocked on his door three times. We live in such a
wide open world. We are on the run. We are going. We are doing. We're involved in this, involved in that, and planning this, and going there, and looking at this, and listening to that. We're so busy, we don't have time to listen to God. So, you know, I encourage everybody to take time to pray every day, meditate a little every day. Slow down long enough. Get quiet long enough. Get still long enough that God can speak to you and you can hear Him answer. God's not going to holler over the din of the world. If you're going to hear the Lord, you're going to have to listen for Him. I've heard people say, well, the Lord never spoke to me. Well, how would you know? You ain't ever been still long enough to have known whether God said anything or not. John chapter 4 and verse 19, the lady's sitting by the well, and the Lord Jesus comes to her and talks to her about the living water. You know what this woman said? She said, I perceive that thou art a prophet. This is an old sinner woman. He said, go and call thy husband. She said, I have no husband. He said, thou hast well said, for thou hast had five husbands, and him whom thou now hast, see, she was shacked up, is not thy husband. She had had five. They were all gone. She was living with somebody else. The Lord knew all about it, just like He knows all about me and you. But this old wicked woman, this old hussy, had enough understanding and enough perception to recognize who He was. You know, sometimes I think that it's the people who have a need that have the perception. As long as we are self-sufficient, as long as we don't need anything, we don't need God for anything, everything is just going fine in our lives. We just go on and live our life and we don't even listen for the Lord. Now when trouble comes, when things don't go right, we get down and out, get destitute, get sick, it's amazing. We find time to find God. And God can talk to us. It's a shame that it has to get that way before we can perceive that the Lord is talking to us. Amen? Acts chapter 10 verse 34 says, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. God deals with all of us. All of us. God doesn't love me more than He loves you. God won't be better to me than God is to you. You say, well, God blesses so-and-so and He didn't bless so-and-so. You don't know the circumstances in their life. Maybe one was obedient, one was disobedient. Maybe God had to chasten one. But it was God's desire to bless him. It was God's desire to be a blessing to him. A lot of times God can't be because we don't let Him. But it's not because God loves one more than the other. It's based on how we act, how we live, how we treat God. Give me some things to think about here. Ecclesiastes, I love this verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 verse 14 said, I perceive... This is the wisest man that ever lived speaking. He said, I perceive that one event happeneth to all men. That's a great lesson to learn. He said, I perceive. He said, I understand. He said, I've got a little insight here. I figured this thing out. One event, one thing happens to all men. Now, what's that one thing? We all die. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this to judgment. Now, I wish everybody had that perception. You say, well, preacher, everybody knows everybody's going to die. No, they don't. No, they don't. People say that. And they do know that somewhere way down the road, some distant day, there's going to come an end to their life. But they don't think it's going to be a day. When they talk about dying right now, most people don't believe that. We almost universally believe that we've got time. And when you try to convince people that they need to do something because they could be dead today, they ain't buying it. Well, I'm healthy and I'm strong and I'm young and I've got plenty of time. Maybe you don't. Maybe it's a false perception. You know, you can be healthy as a horse and a greyhound kill you.
Amen.
Nobody here is healthy enough to survive 80 tons of greyhound.
Amen.
I perceive that one event happeneth unto all men. A wise man, a Bible scholar one time, had written in the margin of his Bible five things that he wanted to do every day. At the top of his list, in the margin of his Bible, he would look over there every morning, and it was five things he wanted to do every day. The first thing in his list was this. He said, I want to ponder my death. Not because he was morbid, not because he was obsessed with death. He wanted to remember his mortality. He wanted to remember that he could die today. Today could be his last day. So that he would live today like today was the last one. See, we do it just the other way. We all think we got plenty of time. Well, preacher, I know I'm going to die down the road, but that's a long time off. I've got plenty of time. That might be a false perception.
Amen.
Amen. Now, let me give you three things you can't perceive by your natural senses, and we'll go home. You can perceive a lot of things. You can, by sight and sound and taste and touch and hearing, you can get perception about a lot of things. And with the right information and a reasonable amount of common sense, you can make right deductions and that kind of thing. But you know, there's some things, I don't care who you are or how smart you are or how clever you are, there's no way to perceive them. They must be revealed. And that's where the world gets all whacked out, see? Because they think that if you can't perceive it with your five senses, it's not real. There's a sixth sense. It's called faith. It's not make-believe. It's not you deciding that I'll just believe something. Real faith is inspired by God. Developed by the Holy Spirit. Real faith comes from God Almighty. And real faith can help you to see and understand things that cannot be perceived with the natural senses. Number one, you cannot perceive God. You cannot sit down and by your natural reasoning ability figure out God. Because you can't see Him, hear Him, taste Him, touch Him, or feel Him. You can deduce that there might be a God or there must be a God. There's a creation. There must be a creator. But you've got no perception of Him. Your mind, you can't do that. The truth is, you can only perceive things that can be grasped or grappled with in the mind that must have some basis in one of the five senses. Somewhere. Or you can't perceive it at all. And God's not one of them. God's beyond all your senses. God, while He can't be discerned through even through His creation, must be discerned through revelation. That's why God gave a book to reveal God. Now you stop and think about it. Everything you know about God Almighty came out of that book. You don't know anything about God. You didn't get out of a Bible. You say, well, my Aunt Susie told me. Well, she got out of the Bible. You say, well, Aunt Susie got it from the preacher. Well, he got it out of the Bible.
But everything the world knows about the God of the universe came out of that book. It came from revelation. It didn't come from perception. You can't figure God out. The Bible said in the book of Job that God has set the world in man's heart that he cannot figure out God to the end. You can't figure out God because the world gets in your way. Number two, you can't perceive God. You can't perceive hell. Did you ever think about that? Nobody could have just dreamed hell up. On what basis would they have had to thought such a thing? Since nobody's ever seen it or felt it. You can't taste it, touch it, or hear it. It's hidden from your sight. Nobody's ever laid eyes on it. You know that everything man knows about hell got out of that book. It came through revelation, not perception. Mankind wants to trust his five senses, his perceptions, to lead him and guide him in everything. That's an error, because not everything can be discerned through those five senses. Some things have to be revealed by God. You'd not know God if God hadn't revealed himself. You'd have not known about hell if God had not revealed hell. You never figured it out. The love of God cannot be perceived. It had to be revealed. Now, how did God reveal his love? For God so loved the world that he gave. And then he wrote it down. And he put it in a book. God wrote me a love letter. So why? Because I can't perceive the love of God. I could never, of my own abilities, figure out that God loved me. Mankind tried to do that for 4,000 years. And they ended up worshiping sticks and rocks and statues. Because they could not grasp that the God that created all that is loved them as an individual. It took the revelation of God to demonstrate that. God revealed his love when he put his son on Calvary's cross. Then he recorded it in a book for all generations. I know about the love of God because God revealed it to me in that book through his son. And without that, I would never know. And I'm a pretty perceptive person. I think I am. I've got my wife convinced that I am. And as long as me and her believe it, buddy. But I could have never figured out God. I would have never planned on a hell. And I could never have imagined in my wildest dreams that the God of heaven loved me. But God revealed it. He didn't depend on my perception or my understanding, my intuition. He revealed it so that I could know it for sure. There is a God and there is a hell, and God loves me.
Amen.
And he loves you too.
Amen.
If you read that book, you'll perceive, you'll understand God's love for his creature. He revealed it in that blessed old book. Well, I don't know why in the world anybody wouldn't want to read this book.
Amen.
I don't know why in the world you'd read anything. I mean, you got time for a newspaper, you got time for a novel, and you ain't got time for a Bible. Something bad wrong with you. Bad wrong. Well, how in the world you could sit there and be saved for years and years and years and never read that Bible one time? Have mercy. There are some things you can't know. There are some things you can't understand. They have to be revealed. And this is the revelation. God's revealed the deep things in that book. Are you a Bible reader? Are you? You study that book? You read it?
You sit down and say, Lord, I'm ignorant. No, I want to know something about that Bible. I want to know the God of that Bible. I want to understand God. I want to be close to Him. I want to feel His presence. Lord, I'm going to open this book and I'm going to read. And I want You to give me insight. I want You to give me some wisdom. Give me some understanding. And pray. Pray over that book. Ask God to help you. And then sit down with an honest and an open heart. Read that thing. And you watch God talk to you. You watch Him reveal things to you that you could never have figured out on your own. They were beyond human perception. But God can reveal them just like that. Right out of here. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your mercy.